Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift up this time and this message. We put them into your hands. Do your will with them, Lord. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Lately, we've been looking at what the scriptures have to say about love. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at love and patience. Last week, we looked at being patient with yourself, because as we saw in God's eyes, you are truly lovable, even Wayne. All things are possible with Christ. You know, Wayne, you thought I'd forget about the Speedo comment a couple weeks ago, huh? Because Wayne and I, we put the O in Speedo.
Yeah.
We concluded last week with Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. The reason I concluded a message on patience with a verse about confidence is that confidence is what fosters patience, and it is the substance of our faith. Without confidence, there is no patience or faith. Patience, confidence, and faith are all linked together by the love of God. Without that love, they don't exist. The more you understand the love God has for you, the stronger your faith will be, which will be proven by your patience and by your confidence. So if you find that you lack confidence, ultimately what you really lack is a deeper understanding of God's love for you. Let's begin by defining the term so that all of you out there will be pondering over the same thing I am up here talking about. Confident, full of conviction, certain, having or showing assurance, and here's the interesting part, and self-reliance. Confidence, a feeling of or consciousness of one's power or of reliance on one's circumstance. Faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. The quality or state of being certain. Certitude. Some of the synonyms: assurance, certainty, courage, determination, morale, poise, spirit, tenacity, fearlessness, boldness, firmness, resoluteness, sureness, spunk, pluck. I like pluck. And faith. Each of these terms is a quality that is valued in the kingdom of God. While the antonyms of confidence are generally considered to be a hindrance in Scripture: doubt, fear, hesitation, irresolute, uncertainty, weakness, cowardice, timidity, apprehension, distrust, and faithlessness. In the kingdom of God, in eternal matters, the determining factor of whether confidence is a quality or a flaw is the word self. If self is before any of the synonyms, it turns them into a flaw in the kingdom of God. If self is before any of the antonyms, many of the antonyms, it turns them into qualities. There's nothing wrong with having confidence in your own abilities, work, sports, school, social, as long as you understand and acknowledge where it is your abilities come from. Psalms 57:2 says, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. All things for me. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it goes a little more specific, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You could talk about the money you made, but you can't make any of it without that ability that comes from him. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a woman, unless, of course, you called your own existence out of the dirt. So confidence is a good thing if the confidence is placed on the one who not only can, but will be of help no matter what one faces. Even if one faces themselves. Because self-confidence has no value in a struggle with yourself. However, if one were to have confidence in God, this confidence applies directly to your life, as God is both with you and in you. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, that we have it, but it's not from us. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy, our ability to do things, is from God. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me did not prove in vain. But I labored more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God within me. Whatever I had, God gave me. I did a lot with it, but even that ability to do a lot with it came from him. In Genesis 41:16, Joseph speaking to Pharaoh, he said, Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. In Daniel 2:3, Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, but as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. What he's saying to him is, this is from God, not me, and it was given to me for you. Now, this one's important. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then we turn to Philippians 4:13, which says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The difference between doing all things and doing nothing is who your confidence is in, ourselves or Jesus Christ. If you were to look up confidence in Knave's topical Bible, you would see that it only gives negative examples of the term in Scripture. It views it as a negative because it is a matter of what your confidence stands upon. Is it pride or is it faith? Is it you or is it God? One stands on love for yourself, the other stands on the love of God. One is built on what you can do, the other is built on what God can do. In the end, the difference is who gets the glory. We sing blessed assurance with great enthusiasm. We could easily change the words to blessed confidence and be correct, because that's what assurance is. As long as we understand another hymn that goes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My confidence is built on nothing less. So what does Scripture have to say about our God-based confidence? First, our confidence from God is not affected by circumstances. Romans 11:36 says, and by the way, if it is affected by circumstances, you know it's not from God. Your confidence has been in yourself. If circumstances challenge your confidence, that's telling you where you have placed your confidence. Romans 11:36 says this, for from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. All things flow out from God, through God, and back to God. From the mind of God, through the power of God, for the glory of God are all things. Nothing is excluded. All things. It is all under his domain, and it is all under his control. There is no trial you can face that he does not have absolute and complete jurisdiction over. There is nothing that he cannot help you with or deliver you from, even yourself. There's no political power, no social upheaval, no economic crisis, no personal drama, no physical, emotional, or mental affliction that he does not hold complete sway over. Everything and everyone answers to the will of God. Our problem is we confuse our will for the will of God, that what we want is naturally what God wants. Sanctification changes this around so that God's will becomes our will. Make no mistake, no amount of confidence or faith can force or coerce God to do what you desire. Of this, you can be confident. Know that the God who has made all things for his purpose dwells in you. This links the power of God for his purpose directly to your life. Anything God can do, he can do through you. The confidence we have in the will of God being done on this earth as it is in heaven now applies directly to ourselves without limit. Romans 11 tells us that God can do all things, and Philippians 4 tells us that we can do all things through him, because my strength now comes from him. My confidence to do his will is anchored in my confidence in God and his love for me. What God calls you to do, God always prepares and equips you to do. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, you've become the work of God. He changes what you want, your will, and what you do, your work, for his good pleasure, which is his will. It is God, not you. So where should your confidence lie? Second, our confidence is learned. It's just like faith. On our spiritual journey through this world, we often begin with great confidence. When we first receive the Lord into our hearts, we have the enthusiasm that often accompanies the naivety of youth. We see only the promises and not the cost. And by the way, the cost is everything. And it takes a while to learn that. God offers you everything he has, and what he asks in return is everything you have. We see a Savior clearly, but our vision of the Lord is somewhat hazy. But our vision improves over time. While salvation occurs instantly, sanctification comes all of the time between salvation and your death. The confidence of salvation is soon challenged by the new internal demand of obedience and conformity to the will of God. The infatuation of salvation is soon met by the reality of dying to self and living for Christ. What was, I can do all things for Christ, becomes, I can't do anything for Christ. The reality of being alive in Christ while residing in a corpse of flesh. It takes time to learn that we can't do anything for Christ, but we can do all things through Christ. Confidence dwindles under the former and thrives under the latter. Christ does not need your ability to do anything, but Christ uses your humility to do all things. We must learn that confidence is bound to God helping us, not to us helping God. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul tells the church at Corinth and us that weakness, insults, distress, persecution, and difficulties do not challenge his confidence. Rather, they build it. Why? Because the power of God is manifested not in human ability, but in human weakness, so that we will be sure of where our help and confidence lies, not in ourselves. The thorn in Paul's flesh that he spoke of the verses before this, whatever it was, over time, built his confidence in God while it destroyed his confidence in himself. Paul said he spoke to God about this matter three times before he understood it. God never took it away, because it was there for his own good, his own edification. Paul had to learn this, and if Paul had to learn it, I assume I must learn it also. 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says this, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The according to his will part is the important part. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request for which we've asked for him. You see, it takes time to learn what is in accordance with his will. So it takes time to have the confidence that comes with asking for it. We know that if he hears our request, we have it. This is confidence. Third, the confidence we get from the Lord, both temporal and eternal, is our choice to accept. The confidence we get from the Lord covers whatever our hand finds to do. If the Lord gives you a task, you can have the confidence that you can accomplish it well through him. This encompasses work, education, personal responsibilities, ministries. It covers your health, your wealth, your abilities, and your personality. What God gives you to do, you can do. Once God's Spirit directs you to do or be something, you will immediately be inundated with voices from without and from within telling you why you can't do it or why you can't be it. Whatever voice you turn your head to hear is the one that will win. In Exodus 35, 30 through 35, there's a beautiful example of God calling someone to do something and preparing them to do it. Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by the name Beelzebul, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship to make, designs for working in gold and silver and bronze, and the cutting of stones for settings and the carvings of wood, so to perform in every inventive work. He has also put into his heart to teach, both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahazamach, the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver, of a designer, of an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and fine linens, of a weaver as it performs every work and makers of designs. Well, anyone that understands building understands the depth of these abilities. Everything, stone, from the stones being laid to the curtains being hung, God gave them the ability, and with that ability comes confidence. To do what? To build a building. It came from God. That's where the confidence it is to do it. These men were called and prepared by God to build and care for a building. Their ability to do the job came from God, but their obedience and their confidence to do it was still their choice. God has done what was his to do. They still had to do what was theirs to do, and that begins with confidence in God. The one who called me to do it knows what he's doing. Hebrews 10:35-36, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Don't throw away your reward of confidence, is what it's saying. For you have need of endurance, patience, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. You need to endure to the end. You see, nothing can take your confidence away from you in the Lord, but you can throw it away. Confidence is a reward we get from God for believing in Christ. It is what gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Confidence is the power of faith. It puts the first foot out when you move towards the will of God, and it plants your feet when the evil moves against you. Confidence makes us overcomers and keeps us from being overcome by Satan, the world, others, and ourselves. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our confidence, our belief. Romans 8:37 says this, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. This brings us to a final point. Our confidence in the Lord, and the reason it is in the Lord, is simply because we know he loves us. Love tells us that God will do what is best for us. Love can be trusted, and we can have faith in love. His love for us is not based on our ability or our personality. It is based on his being a father to us. As long as we are his sons, we can be confident in him because we know he loves us. 1 John 4:17 tells us love is perfected in us so that we can have confidence. Love is perfected so that you could have confidence. Because if love is not perfected inside of you, you will not have confidence, because confidence comes from love. To gain confidence, grab hold of the love that God has for you. Accept it. Embrace it. There is no self-help program or therapy that will grant you more confidence than understanding and accepting the great love God has for you. Seeing yourself as God sees you. And here is how God sees you, through his eyes of love. And I want you to understand, this was written to you, about you, and for you. Song of Solomon 4:7. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. We ask ourselves, will I ever amount to anything? What good am I? Why am I even here? Comparing ourselves to others, to what we are not, instead of what we are and what we will be. This is folly. Your worth is not assigned to you by others. It is defined by God, the one who made you. Your worth is not defined by your job, your titles, your relationships, your wealth, your likability, your intelligence. It is defined by your maker. He says you are a pearl of great value, and that there is no blemish or fault in you that he sees. Confidence is not walking into a room thinking you're better than everyone. It's walking into a room and not having to compare yourself at all to anyone. God declares what you are, and that is final. Henry Haskins said this, "What lies behind us and what lies before us, whatever we faced or face, are tiny matters compared to what lies within us, which is God. That, my brethren, is the power and the will of God. To win, all you have to do is get up more times than you fall down. That's all you have to do. One more time. And to get up, all you need is confidence. To have the confidence, all you need to know is that you are loved by God. You can do all things through Christ who loves you." Amen.